Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 391, the four stanzas. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. And what follows, Psalter 391, the four stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 1, the verses 57 through 80. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 1, beginning with verse 57. And now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And he made signs to his father how we would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them allayed them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Carlina Arnoldusa, who was scheduled for surgery on Tuesday, Mr. Jake Van Leer, who was frail and is slowly getting weaker, and Mr. and Mrs. Spell and Angelina Van Waverwijk, who may commemorate their 59th wedding anniversary today. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy goodness, in thy condescending mercy, and in the way of thy patient long-suffering, to grant unto us and our children another day, another Lord's day, another soul's marked day, and may it be impressed upon all of our hearts, the hearts of young and old, of all thy goodness, where thou wast watched over us, in the home, on the way, even in the midst of accidents, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be, Then thou wast not dealt as we deserve, but then we may still be in the precious day of grace. Then we may still have a place upon the earth, and then thou maketh a difference where there is no difference. Yea, thou maketh a great difference wherein this past week with the mourning family we have stood on the cemetery round an open grave to bury a dear husband, father, son, and further family member. And then we commend that mourning family unto thee, where more and more shall become reality, an empty place in the heart, in their lives and in the home. Wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms? And so we commend all the mourning ones unto thee, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other loved ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to remember them, and that all the callings may be sanctified? And then how necessary the prayer of Moses, the man of God, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Oh, impress upon all of our hearts the solemnity, the shortness, the seriousness of life, and the certainty of death, judgment, and of eternity. And then thou grantest this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee, possible through thy dear Son, whom thou wast sent upon the earth, who was born in a stable, who was suffered and died, and who sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, defending, preserving, leading, instructing his people on the ways everlasting. O Lord, where there is no need, where there is no desire, and that is the picture of the natural man, may it please thee by word and by spirit to work it in this morning hour, when there are only desires, Lord. Then we also remember those that are struggling with depression, that have not so many desires, where it seems all so black and all so hopeless. May they be given oftentimes to be at thy footstool, and then for the lawful desires which thou granteth to the children of men, may there be oftentimes those times that we may be given to see thy hand therein. And those that are struggling with unlawful, sinful desires, addictions, and temptations, may it please thee to deliver them. But, Lord, now it is the work of thy Spirit to grant those living and those fervent desires for thee in thy righteousness. What is thy work? To grant an advent people that they are given to faint for thy salvation and given to hope in thy word. Lord, wilt thou then be a surprising God, because thou art the Alpha and the Omega, and when thou grantest those living desires for thee and for thy righteousness, then thou shalt also grant them. And to that end, grant those fervent exercises, multiply prayers, and pleading upon thy holy word. Thou hast a people upon the earth that need thy dear Son to be born in their heart, to be their Savior, and then for an Advent people for the first time, but also in continuance, to be led further in the wonderful ways of the Lord, to be instructed to receive a further revelation and the application of the blood applied to their doorpost. Then we read in thy word, in that New Testament church among young and old, that there were those lively exercises, we have heard it, that it was spoken about in the hill country of Judea. And Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thou wast promised to bless thy word to that end. Then do come in a special way with thy Spirit in our midst, that it may be a special and unforgettable service. And Lord, so we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, wherever thy church may gather officially, but also in secret places. May there be a rich ingathering. Then the solemnest of old has declared, even in the midst of dark and troublesome time, that thou would favor thy Zion at the set time, yea, that the favor time has come, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end. And then thou wast given on this day to an old father and an old mother, special reasons to acknowledge thee for thy sparing, for thy keeping, for thy provision, and for thy protection, whereon this day they may remember and commemorate 59 years together on life's pathway in the bond of holy matrimony, and also in the family circle. Then thou wast spoken an empty place, a word has pleased thee in the years that lie behind us, to take out of their midst a dear granddaughter. And so we commend those two parents unto thee. Wilt thou grant them a broken and a humble heart with their milestone? Remember them for body and for soul. Wilt thou so remember all of our elderly ones? And then we commend unto thee an old father who was frail, and where it seems to be that he is weakening. Then we commend him unto thee for body and soul. Remember his dear wife and the family circle. Wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted? A mother who was scheduled for surgery this week, Lord, wilt thou go with her, guide the hands of the physician, and may the means be blessed, may the prayers be multiplied, and that this calling may be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, those that struggle with pain and weariness of the body, all the different circumstances, they are known unto thee. Those that are undergoing treatments, may it be blessed by thee. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones. Wilt thou grant strength and courage? And so the needs are great, the crosses and the burdens, they are all known unto thee. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Do open thy precious word, and that with freedom and liberty and with joy we may declare the wonderful things of the Lord. We have heard it. One that was dumb was given to speak and praise thee for thy wonderful works, given to extol thee to the highest. The purpose of creation, the purpose of recreation, our Lord, granted unto young and old, prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace. Wilt thou so dwell richly amongst us? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The Song of Zacharias, the first five stanzas. And now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear, and what follows, the first five stanzas of the Song of Zacharias.
Thank you.
In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 1, the verses 67, 68, and 69. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Our text words speak of Zacharias singing of the horn of salvation at the beginning of a song, with two thoughts. In the first place, the time he sung of the horn of salvation, and secondly, the blessings of the horn of salvation. As Zacharias singing of the horn of salvation at the beginning of a song, the time and the blessings of the horn of salvation. Beloved congregation, we read from the psalmist in Psalm 102. Was a solemn of one that was afflicted and overwhelmed. And then in verse 13, then the psalmist has declared that the Lord shall arise and have mercy to favor his Zion, for the set time is come. And that is now taken place in a special way in the New Testament church. For 400 years we do not read in the scriptures. The last prophet that we have in the scriptures, that was the prophet Malachi. And that does not mean, boys and girls, that the Lord was not working. The Lord shall always have a remnant. And the Lord has also remembered that remnant in those 400 years, manifesting his almighty arm and delivering that people in different ways. But now in the New Testament, then the Lord has risen and the set time has come to favor his Zion. And then we have heard it out of verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And now concerning that true Advent church, then the Lord has granted different exercises. And those were exercises which were wrought by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then not all in the same place. All our text words, they take place in the hill country of Judea, thought to be the city of Hebron, approximately 32 kilometers to the south of Jerusalem. Hebron was one of the 48 priestly cities, one of the 48 Levitical cities, one of the 13 priestly cities, and one of the cities of refuge. It was the third abiding place of Abram after he is separated from Lot. In the neighborhood was Machpelah, where the patriarchs were buried. It was also the place where the spies have gathered those fruits, the figs, the grapes, and the pomegranates. It was the city where Hebron was king, where David was king, first for 7.5 years. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that with everything that has been experienced in former generations, not to despise it, but the Lord has a people upon the earth that need a personal blessing. And now for a Zacharias and Elizabeth, that was an old couple with unanswered prayers. Oh, then also in Jerusalem, there was that Simeon. That was a different exercise, does not mean, because the Old Testament church, they were given to remember, and when they receive faith to plead upon the promises which the Lord has given concerning the coming of his dear son. But what does the church now need? Then they need a personal promise, and then there shall come a special pleading. Remember, Lord, thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, because we read in Luke 2 of a Simeon that he has received the promise that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. All northward in the town of Nazareth, then we have that young Joseph and a Mary. First, Mary has received a special revelation, and then Joseph has also received an instruction to concern the same. Thus then we see that the church distinguished exercises, but it concerned the coming of the promised Messiah. Oh, are there such souls in my midst? We have heard it the past Lord's Day. I have fainted for thy salvation, but my hope is in thy word. And now the Lord always works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And now for a Zacharias in our text. Oh, then he was given to sing the praises of the Lord, because we read, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, it was a special time for the church. It was a special time for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Then as Zacharias may speak that the Lord has visited his church, but then as Zacharias and Elizabeth could also speak that the Lord had visited them. And that is now the desire, the longing. Oh, it is true. The church learns that it is all given from above. Oh, even for those desires, do we not hear the prophet Isaiah testify in Isaiah 26, verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. And now Zacharias, he had a beautiful name that means to be remembered of Jehovah. And Elizabeth means the oath of God. But it was an old couple, an old husband and wife, that could not live with that name, but that needed the application. Ah, so it is not enough to have the name of Christian, but we need to experience to become a Christian with a capital C, and so become partakers of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning that threefold office. And now concerning Zacharias and Elizabeth, then we read precious things of that old husband and wife. Oh, then boys and girls, if we had went to that hill country and we have met boys and girls, and we would have asked them, are there now in this place those that truly feared the Lord, oh, then I am sure that they would tell us, there is a Zacharias and an Elizabeth. And if we would ask them, but how do you now know that they truly feared the Lord? Then those boys and girls would tell us, that we can see the godly fear, their godly walk, that it even can be seen on their faces that they truly feared the Lord. That they are traveling heavenward, that they reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, those boys, they would not use those big words, but they would simply tell us it could be seen. And what a precious testimony. Not the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth, but it is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Although Zacharias and Elizabeth, not strangers of those matters, and for the child of God, the closer that they may walk with their God, the more impressions they may receive of the majesty and glory of their God, the more they are given to experience their sin. Oh, the sins of their heart, their uncleanness. Oh, the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is written, both righteous before God. What a blessing, what a privilege. One husband and wife, by the grace of God, may travel on that narrow way to eternal bliss. And when we read righteous before God, then they have come in a right relationship by the grace of God, possible through the work of a triune God, but also revealed in their life. Thus we could speak of justification and sanctification, walking in all the commandments and ordinances, thus first commandments and then ordinances, that is the worship of the Lord, blameless. Does not mean they had no sin, but they were given to have a close life with their God, a life without blemish, without reproach, a life that aroused to a holy jealousy. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had a heavy cross to bear, a burden, because they had no child. Oh, they have prayed oftentimes, that is written in the Bible, because when the angel Gabriel has come, then the angel has said, thy prayer is heard. Oh, it is declared, implied, that they have prayed much. The same as we read in Genesis 25, that an Isaac in the presence of Rebekah has entreated the Lord that they may be blessed with children. But a heard prayer. We read in Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Thus a heard prayer to be given to believe that it is went up to heaven in the presence of the Lord well pleased, the Lord grant a certain rest and a certain peace in the heart, but no answer yet has found relief. And they became older must come to our text. Then the lot has fallen upon Zacharias, at least has received that blessing. And then it was his appointment to go into the holy place and to offer incense upon the golden altar. And there the angel Gabriel has appeared with such a wonderful message: Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. And then what wonderful things that the angel has declared concerning that child, that many would rejoice at his birth. He would be great in the sight of the Lord, would be sanctified by the Holy Ghost from the womb, would come in the spirit of Elias, that he would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message for Zacharias. Oh, should it not arouse to a holy jealousy? And then we would think that is Zacharias, that he has fallen on his knees with praises upon his lips to praise the Almighty God, that faithful God who would now answer his prayer, and to receive such a child that would be used in the service of the Lord. Know that as Zacharias and an Elizabeth, they would not have to discuss among themselves, what shall we now call our child? No, it was all given by the Lord. But what has Zacharias said? Lord, we read that, shall read the exact words, how unadvisably that Zacharias has spoken. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. That awful unbelief. That is the greatest sin that there is. Small thoughts of God makes the Lord a liar, doubts his truth, his faithfulness, does not give glory to God, and brings much trouble and darkness to the soul. The great sin of unbelief. And now the Lord has a people that they are glad that it is written in God's word. The nominal Christian, they can always believe and can always rejoice. But the true child of God learns that faith is a gift of God. When it is given, they must believe, can do no other. And when it is withheld and left to themselves, then they have nothing but unbelief. And now it is needful that that becomes their sin, their sorrow. We read of a father in Mark 9, verse 24, when Christ has spoken that if he would only believe, it would be well with his boy. And then we read, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But there is something written before it. Was not a dry confession with tears. And that is where each time, with tears, with sorrow, that it comes concerning their unbelief. Ah, faith, that is such a precious gift. And now Zacharias must come to the description of that horn and of a song. But then Zacharias is asked for a sign. Sometime the question is asked, is it right, is it wrong to ask for a sign when it may be in a simple childlike faith? Think of a Gideon, he has even asked for two concerning that fleece. The Lord has not rebuked him, the Lord has given it for the strengthening of his faith. But for a Zacharias, was asked in the way of unbelief. And yet, the Lord has given a sign. He would be dumb until these things would take place. Oh, it was a time in the church that there were still exercises. Was not all form and duty. Because in the beginning of the chapter we read that as Zacharias went into the holy place, the congregation was praying without, what a blessing. When there are those Aarons and hers, O Lord, help that old priest, that he does everything properly, that he makes no mistakes, that thou art not angered, O Lord. Wilt thou accept the incense of the sacrifice, that thou may show mercy upon us, Lord? Return the priest unto us, that he may lay upon us the Aaronic blessing. And then when Zacharias has returned, he could not speak. Then we do not read that the people have tried to figure it out and says, I think Zacharias had a stroke. No. They perceived that he had seen a vision. Thus, that New Testament church, there was an exercise church concerning the things of the Lord. But now, oh, what it must have been for a Zacharias. Because, boys and girls know it, that Elizabeth, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they have received a visitor. A young girl, not so old, was Mary, who had a desire to unburden her heart to that old Elizabeth. And the Lord has also dealt so wonderfully with Mary in that respect. And now for 3 months, Elizabeth and Mary experiencing communion with heaven and with each other, that for 3 months, as it were, they were above the things of the earth. Oh, then I am sure, boys and girls, that there was a glow on their face. So happy, so rejoicing in their God for the wonderful things, that it was the favor time that the Lord has visited his church. Ah, then it has all come back to Zacharias. What an awful sin that unbelief is. And yet, Zacharias still had tokens. Lord has not forgotten about Zacharias. He has received the sign. It's true he was dumb. Still better than when we receive nothing, when it is so quiet, and when it is only a contemplation of the truth. And Zacharias was given to see that his dear wife was expecting. Thus, as Zacharias was waiting for a time that it would be fulfilled, and then Zacharias was looking earnestly toward a time when the Lord would open his lips, and then Zacharias has undoubtedly thought, when that shall take place with my little John in my arms, then there shall be no one upon the earth as glad and happy as I am. Are there souls that understand it? Because with unanswered prayers, unfulfilled promises, it is true, when the Lord grants that faith to embrace, then they may sing with the receiving of that promise. But we must continue. A time has come, a more difficult time. Zacharias, boys and girls, you can picture that old Zacharias with his little John in his arms. Lord has answered their prayer, and yet a dumb Zacharias. What those 8 days must have been for the prophet, for the priest, at his wit's end, at the end of the earth. Specifically mentioned the neighbors and cousins, they came to rejoice with her. But we know what has happened, children. When little John was circumcised, and when Zacharias was given to write on that table of wax, his name shall be John, then his mouth was opened, because we read, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praise God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then he was given to testify, and his father Zacharias was filled. We read that word filled 4 times in this chapter. Was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Then he was given to end. That is remarkable. When we read the song of Zacharias, then it does not speak so much about his little boy. Only verse 76, we read, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Thus then he was given to speak of his little John, being a prophet to serve the Lord and to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That most of his song concerns the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited. What takes place, congregation, when the Lord visits his church? Then people shall be converted, false foundations uncovered, more godliness, many prayers at the throne of grace, of people pleading the promises exercised for the coming of his kingdom, the glory of his name, God's people led further into the mysteries of salvation, and that the Lord may be much praised and glorified, for he has visited his people, the church, but also his children. Oh, the psalmist. In Psalm 106, verse 4 and 5 is prayed, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. And visited, but also redeemed, is a further blessing. That means to buy back. Thus, when the church, and that is possible through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Zacharias was given to sing of so richly in the way of prophecy concerning his wonderful works, that the Lord by his almighty grace, that word redeemed, that means to buy back, to buy from under the bondage of Satan, from under the cursing of the law, and to set them free. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation. That is our second thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 175, the first three stanzas. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, and what follows. Psalter 175, the first three stanzas. Zechariah's singing of the horn of salvation at the beginning of a song. First, the time, and now secondly, the blessings of the horn of salvation. When Zechariah is given to begin a song with those words, "Blessed be the God of Israel," then they are the same words that we find at the end of different books of the Psalms, because boys and girls, in some Bibles, then there is even written over some Psalms, book 1, book 2, book 3, that the Psalms have been divided into 5 books. And then at the end of Psalm 41, at the end of Psalm 72, and at the end of Psalm 106, then we find the same words as Zechariah has begun a song with, and at the end of Psalm 89, a little shorter, but also similar words, and then Zechariah has begun and hath raised up an horn. Thus then Zechariah is given to speak that a horn has been raised up, was not there before, has already been raised up in the council of peace in eternity, would be at the birth, would be at the resurrection, and is raised up on horn. We read in Psalm 132, verse 17, "There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed." Then in the Old Testament, there were times that it seemed that it would and could never take in place. With the lowest state of Zion, think of Pharaoh trying to murder the little boys. Athaliah has tried to murder all her grandchildren, but the Lord has given that at the Lord's time. We read in Isaiah 11, verse 1, "A root out of the stem of Jesse." And now that has taken place in the New Testament church. Then that horn is raised up also in the preaching of the gospel, where it may be declared that there is salvation for sinners. Oh, young and old, do you hear it? That there is salvation even for the chiefest of sinners, because his name shall be called Jesus, because he has saved his people from their sins. But now Zechariah is given to speak of an horn of salvation. Oh, then for a Zechariah in a song. Psalm 142, verse 7, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thee. The righteous shall gather round to share the blessing that I have found." And now when we think of a horn, what does that all imply? And boys and girls, you must think along. Then a horn is for beauty and adornment. When you have a hunter, then he always looks and desires a deer, an elk, a moose, whatever it be, with large antlers. Oh, so I read in Isaiah 33, verse 16, that they shall behold the king in his beauty. In the second place, then a horn implies power and might. You have two deers, boys and girls, and the one has big antlers, and the other one none. Then the one with antlers has dominion, written in the Bible. Daniel, in Daniel 8, was given to see a vision concerning the nations of the earth. And then he saw this ram with two horns pushing northward, southward, westward, and it seemed that there were none that could stop that ram. But then Daniel, in his vision, then he saw a he-goat with one big horn running over the earth. He barely touched the earth. And then he ran into that ram and broke his two horns, and all his power was gone. The horn of salvation, Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And Christ has declared before he has ascended into heaven, in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. In the third place, when we think of a horn, then we think of anointing. 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel has come to Bethlehem to anoint one of the boys, sons of Jesse, to be king, then he had a horn of oil, and then he has anointed David to be king. And so we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, based upon God's holy word, when it speaks of Christian, that a Christian, the true Christian, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then he becomes partaker of that anointing of the Holy Ghost to that threefold office in beginning, prophet, priest, and king. Thus that horn of salvation, our Heidelberg Catechism has written it so beautifully, that Christ at the right hand of the Father, then he pours upon his children those heavenly graces, and he pours them so richly, raised up a horn of salvation. Oh, Zacharias, in our chapter, in our text, then he also received of that anointing, possible through the Lord Jesus Christ, who would soon be born, because the Lord is so holy that he can have no communion with sinners, only through his dear Son. Then in the fourth place, when we read of horns in the Bible, then we read that the altars, they had horns on the four corner. And upon those altars, the animal needed to be brought, the blood placed upon the horns of those altars. So when we speak, because Zacharias is given to speak of the horn of salvation, then for the Old Testament church, then the altars, the sacrifices were brought, the blood was shed, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is salvation for the church merited, it shall be applied, it all pointed to the fullness of time. And then we also read in Psalm 118, verse 27, that the animal sometime was tied to the horns of those altar, so the Lord Jesus Christ has bound himself already in the council of peace to come in the fullness of time to be that perfect sacrifice that sinners may be saved. And then further, when we think of a horn, then in the Old Testament, in Joshua 6, then we read that he had ram's horns whereupon must be blown, and upon that blowing and shouting of the people, then on the seventh day, the walls of Jericho was fallen, and so the horn of salvation, that is the gospel trumpet, where the Lord proffers peace and pardon, where it may be declared that there is no sinner too black, no sinner too vile, no sinner too cold, and no sinner too old, but that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, what precious invitations concerning that salvation for poor and needy sinners. And do we not read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Then in the sixth place, there's not an expression that is found or implied in the Bible, but that it is an expression that's come into use. That is the horn of plenty, and sometime a horn is implied with many precious things. And so the horn of salvation that speaks of the riches of the covenant of grace, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of a servant David. It's true that bud was very small, but it has sprouted, it has grown. Christ has finished his work in the state of his humiliation, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of a servant David. When we think of his power, we read in Revelations 19, verse 16, that upon his vesture is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now the question and the exam. What does it mean for us, congregation? That is the question. That horn of salvation that speaks of power and that speaks of a way to be saved. That almighty power, then we can all understand that it is a terrible thing when we knowingly and willingly strive against that almighty and that gracious King. Think we can all know it, that we shall never win, and yet to continue. Oh, when that is our case, with a hard heart, refusing to listen to admonishments, choose the ways of the world above the Almighty Savior. Ah, then tell it the Lord, and humbly ask the Lord that he may break your stony heart into 1,000 pieces, that you may receive a heart of flesh, that you may willingly bow your knees, confess your sin and your enmity, and ask that you may be administered out of that horn of salvation. When we have an army, then they are not all on the front line. Also soldiers, that are more in the back, other ones that take care of the equipment, other ones that cook for the soldiers, but they are all part of the army. And then all those other ones, although not so willfully, not so hardened, still under the banner of the enemy, then our heart also needs to be broken and given to bow. Oh, when that king, when he shoots an arrow into the hearts of the king's enemies, it is an arrow of love. It is an arrow of conviction. And then it all becomes different. And then the spiritual teaches those matters different ways and different degrees. What that church in the New Testament was exercised with. And then we read of young and old. Oh, a horn of salvation. Concerning the rich meanings of that horn, that perfectly suits the case of poor, needy, and seeking sinners, that have learned that they cannot merit their own salvation. Even their best works are polluted with sin. Ah, concerning that horn, concerning that promised Messiah, then what precious invitations that those souls are called upon to come. And we have mentioned that precious text out of John 6, verse 37. Ah, that none who come, that they shall be cast out. And how do they come? That is by true saving faith. And then the Lord has a people that learns what a terrible and what an awful sin that unbelief is, can be souls that fear, that they shall remain dumb. But the Lord, not a land of outer darkness, the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. And here already in beginning, it is only in part, shall be in perfection for the people of God in eternity. But then they shall be given to sing, as we read in Psalm 41, verse 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting. Amen and amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by thy Holy Spirit that we and our children may be administered richly out of that horn of salvation, where there is such a fullness and where there is such a riches. And when thou holdest in, thou can never become greater. And by pouring out, thou shalt not become less. And to that end, Lord, wilt thou richly magnify the wonders of free and sovereign grace, and that it may be experienced what the Advent Church in the New Testament has experienced, oh, in different measures, in different ways, but that it was given to redound to thy honor and to thy glory. Well, thou now rememberest in this day, bless the confession of faith class, grant traveling mercies, return us in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 197, the two stanzas, now blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous works in glory that excel, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting on Thursday, December 19 at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of electing office bearers and other business. Mr. John Vandenbroek has decided not to let his name stand. The consistory has nominated the following for elder: Mr. Rick de Kock, John Liefding, Kees van de Bruinhast, and Jan Verdijn. For deacon, Mr. Andrew Mounts, Ben Vandenberg, Jesse Vandenberg, Chris Vossenbelt. For trustee for the Bethesda Care Home, Mr. Hugo Valier, Harry Van Manen. A list of the names can be found at the exit. Psalter 197, the two stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.